All right, you guys, I'm really excited about our next speaker. Carl Romas has been with us before. He came here 2 years ago. He's really got a heart for God. He's been a youth pastor for a lot of his life, and we're really grateful to have him. I asked him backstage, you know, Carl, is there anything you want me to say to introduce you? He said, tell him the next speaker's name is Carl and that he speaks to young people. So put your hands together for Carl, who speaks to young people.
I love that you took that so very literally. Come on, guys. How we doing, Future Quest? Oh, man. Oh, look at this. I got the Billy Graham podium up here. So I was here a couple years ago, last time that we gathered together. And, man, I'm so glad just to be in the house of God and see all these students in here together. Is this cool or what, guys? Come on. Come on. Is Jesus good today? Come on, so, so very good. Hey, I want to thank just the entire crew here at Future Quest that puts this on for students all across this area. And I'm praying that today, this morning, and then tonight, that God would speak uniquely and specifically to each and every one of you, because I believe God has a word for you today. But before we get into it, let's pray together. Holy Father, I thank you just for this church, for this conference, for all these young people, for all these adults that come together, Lord God, to hear from you. And I pray, Lord Jesus, after we have just come out of just 18 months, 15 months of just exhausting, never-ending difficulties, Lord Jesus, I pray this morning, God, wherever these students are, wherever these leaders are, God, that you would speak clearly through me, through your word, and help them catch their breath, that we might exhale our troubles and our difficulties and our struggles and inhale your Holy Spirit. Meet us here, God. We love you. We thank you in Christ's name. All God's people said, So here's the deal. Like, you ever been just out of breath? I mean, like, maybe, like, you're young, right? Most of you guys are young, so you're still in shape, right? I used to look like you, so here is a look at your future, okay? This happens to all of us. I'm sorry, all right? And now, like, I get out of breath pretty easily. Like, literally from walking to the back to here, I am out of breath. Like, I have one of these. It's not to be a cool preacher. It's because I'm going to sweat like a maniac, right? That's just my life now. But there are, like, instances that will exasperate that, right? I don't think that's the word. Is it exasperate? Exasperate. All right, there's the AP students. Thank you. That will exaggerate that. So a couple years ago, I got two little girls, Georgia and Ruby. It's Georgia's birthday on Sunday if you want to wish her happy birthday. Or just Venmo me money and I'll give it to her, I swear. So I had to put a bike together for my daughter. She was like super young at this point. So it's like one of these like baby bikes, right? And of course, because I'm a dad, I wait till the last minute and I'm like, I'll do it. Don't worry, night before Christmas, I'm going to put it together. Don't worry, babe. And then I go and I open this box with the bike parts in it and I pull out the instructions and they look something like this, right? They look a little bit like this. I think I have a picture of what the instructions look like, right? Like, you gotta be like a NASA scientist to understand what that is. So as I'm sitting there in my garage at 12:30 the night before Christmas, I start thinking to myself, I gotta put this together. But here's what's gonna happen. I'm gonna put this bike together, and then Georgia's gonna ask me how to ride a bike. And then I'm gonna have to teach her how to ride a bike. But before I can teach her how to ride a bike, I gotta make sure she's safe. So I gotta get some knee pads, I gotta get some elbow pads, I gotta get some shin pads, I gotta get a helmet. What kind of helmet should I buy? Should it be a big one? Should it be a small one? Should it be colorful? Should it have, like, you know, Rainbow Bright or Dora the Explorer on it? But oh my gosh, once she learns to ride this bike, then she's gonna, like, wanna do other adventurous things. Like, she's gonna wanna start to make friends. Okay, she's gonna wanna make friends. What kind of school am I gonna send her to? Should we send her to a private school, like a Christian school? Or should we homeschool her, like the those weird kids, or like, should we send her to public school? Like, what kind of schooling do we send her to? But oh my gosh, like, if she goes to school, regardless of if it's homeschool or public school, she's gonna meet new kids, and then she's gonna meet these kids, and I gotta protect her, so I gotta bring the helmet back out. And now it's like, I don't want them to hurt her feelings. Is there a helmet I could put around her heart? Like, I gotta figure this part out. But then one day she's gonna come home with a boy, and she's gonna say, Dad, I like this boy, and I want to date this boy, and then I gotta go get a gun, and I don't know how I feel about gun rights, and now I gotta get this gun. I gotta learn how to use this gun. I should give her the helmet again to protect herself from this guy, but then she's gonna go off to college. Oh my gosh, do I have enough money to pay for her college? Jen and I really gotta start thinking about this stuff. But she's gonna go to college and she's gonna find a new boy, not the same boy from high school, because that guy's a bozo. She's gonna find this new guy, and now she's gonna be like, Dad, I wanna marry this guy. And now I gotta go, like, relearn how to use this gun. But now this guy's gonna come and she's gonna say, hey, Dad, I wanna get married, and now I gotta pay for a marriage. Oh my God, I don't have the money for a marriage. And like, oh my gosh, what are me and Jen doing? Do we have any 401 saved? Do we have any savings saved? God, I don't know what I'm gonna do. Where are we gonna retire? Should we just live here forever? I probably have to sell this house to pay for the wedding. You know what? I'm not gonna put this bike together. I'm a little out of breath. And I closed that box up. Because I was overwhelmed. Literally, this idea of just putting this bike together had my mind racing about everything in my daughter's future. Let me ask you a question to answer in your head. I have to say that for the junior hires. Like, do not answer this out loud. Like, this last 15, 16 months, when the world went on pause, And it just felt like, I don't know if this is true for you, but this is true for me. Where I was like, God, everything feels so confusing. Everything feels so out of sorts. God, I don't know if I'm going or if I'm staying. God, nothing makes sense anymore. And I found myself exhausted. My spirit was just like, I feel like I can't breathe. Amen. Here's the thing I want you to get today, Future Quest. You're not alone in that feeling of being overwhelmed, of being anxious, of being tired and uncertain of what the future looks like. Because if anything we've learned in the past 15, 18 months is we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And this has been the case really since Adam and Eve left the garden. This uncertainty, this chasing after tomorrow, this sense of, I can't get my breath back. Days after Jesus Christ dies on the cross, is buried in a tomb, and resurrects that first Easter Sunday. For 40 days, Jesus presented himself in different forms to his disciples, to his friends. And this was a group of people. It wasn't a massive group like this. It was less than 70 people. And Jesus shows himself to them. He meets them in this situation where they are confused, where they are tired, where they are anxious, where they are out of breath. And Jesus says, come to me. John writes this down in John chapter 21. It reads like this. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee. The sons of Zebedee and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them. And they said, we'll go with you. They went out and got into the boat. But that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Look at me in the eye. I want you to get this today, somebody. Sometimes Jesus can be right in our presence. But because we're focused on our problem, we don't see Jesus in our presence. Jesus said to them, children, do you have any fish? They answered him, no. He said to them, cast your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, it is the Lord. Then Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord. He put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from land, about 100 yards off. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid out on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, Jesus says to us, come and have breakfast. Now, none of the disciples dared ask, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus had revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. In this text, John is writing the third occurrence of the disciples seeing Jesus post-resurrection. Exhausted, tired, out of step. They have this interaction with Jesus. They have this moment with Jesus. And here's the thing about this moment. Though there is a miracle in this text, though there is a miracle in this narrative, it is the mundane, it is the routine, it is the simpleness that I want to draw your attention to this morning. Three questions I believe that Jesus wants each and every one of us to ask ourselves in order that we might catch our breath. If you're taking notes, I want you to jot this down. The first question is, who do you need to spend time with? Who do you need to spend time with? Look at verse 1 and 3. It says this. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to the disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples, ready, were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them. And they said, we'll go with you. Friends, understand what happens here. 3.5 years. These ragtag group of teenagers, young adults, barely 18, 19 years old, some of them younger, are living their lives, and then this rabbi, this teacher, this radical named Jesus says, come and follow me. Come and be my apprentice. Come and be my disciple. Come and be my student. And these young men leave everything they know and follow Jesus. And for 3.5 years, they travel around the Sea of Galilee. They travel from Jerusalem to Jericho, to Bethany. and they watched Jesus do miracle after miracle after miracle. They watched Jesus cast out demons. They watched Jesus heal the sick. They watched Jesus heal the lame. They watched Jesus restore sight to the blind. They watched Jesus multiply food and feed a multitude. And yet, they don't get it. When he says, I gotta die in order for you to live. And yet they are surprised, they are shocked. When in fact Jesus carries a cross up to Mount Golgotha outside of the city, and Jesus is nailed to that cross, and Jesus dies, and Jesus is buried in a borrowed tomb. And everything from 3.5 years is out the window. They are scared. Scripture tells us they're in the upper room after Jesus is dead, after Jesus has died, and the door is locked. Because they're worried that the Romans, that the high priest, that the religious folks are going to come after them also. They are tired. They are exhausted. They are out of breath. So when their leader, the same leader, Peter, who denied Jesus 3 times in front of Jesus' face, we get this twisted sometimes if you know your Bible, if you read this in the Bible, where it says Peter denied Jesus. Sometimes we think Peter denied Jesus and Peter was way off far away somewhere and Jesus was getting tried by the high priest. Understand this, Peter was a few yards away from Jesus. When the rooster crowed that 3rd time, Scripture says that Peter looked at Jesus. So Peter says to his boys, hey, y'all want to go fishing? Understand this, guys. This is an agrarian culture, a culture based on agriculture. This is what they did. This is their livelihood. Peter was really saying to the boys, yo, the last 3 years have been fun. He didn't overturn the Roman government like we thought he was. He isn't that king. He isn't that one who's going to usher in this new world for us. So let's go back to work. Let's go back to what we were doing before. Oh, I know those first weeks of COVID. We're all online on Zoom. Oh, we're praying. Oh, Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we know you will defeat COVID, Lord Jesus, and we can go back to our lives next month. Everybody's saying, oh, Easter. Hey, Easter, COVID's going to disappear. Don't worry, you can have summer camp, guys. But it didn't happen the way we thought it would. And you know what happened to many of us? Myself included. We went back to doing things the way that we used to do. We went back to our old habits. We went back to our old crews. We went back to our old addictions. And listen, I can't knock you for that. Because when you're tired and out of breath, when you're exhausted and anxious, we do what feels comfortable for the flesh. The disciples just did what felt natural. But if you're tired of being tired, if you're tired of being confused, young people, if you're tired of being anxious, if you're tired of fronting and acting like you got it all together, Before we get to Jesus, before we get to the cross, I want to ask you that question. Who are you with? When times get hard, when times get difficult, when life gets overwhelming, who are your people? I'm not talking about the people you came to Future Quest with. I'm not talking about the people you see at youth group. Who really are your people? Because here's one thing I give the disciples credit for. Though they were tired, though they were out of breath, though they felt like they were on their last note, they understood the power of with. Amen. Listen, somebody smarter than me said this, and I'm going to say it to y'all this morning. Show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. Show me the people that you're with, and I'll show you exactly where you're going to end up. Some of us got our Instagrams and our Snapchats, and we're trying to get our like buttons up, and we're trying to get our followers up, and we're trying to be the next big thing and the next big influencer and whatever it is. Look at me in the eye and get this today, somebody. Show me who your people are, and I will show you where your life is going to end up. If you've got Bible-believing, Spirit-filled, struggling, doubting, but still coming to Jesus people in your life, I'm going to tell you, you're going to be nearer to Jesus. But if you got posers and fronters and people who are living their life for the flesh and living this life for the world, I'm going to tell you exactly where you're going to end up to. The disciples understood the power of with. And when crisis hit, they forgot everything besides the fact that these were their people. But here's the deal. In our individualistic culture, everything on your phones and on your screens is telling you to be you. It's telling you to do you. It's telling you that there's no one in this world like you. You're a precious little snowflake. And when we start believing that broken soundtrack, that broken record, it makes us push others away. It makes us run from conflict. It makes us run from discomfort. Where in fact, Jesus might be saying, it's in that conflict, it's in that discomfort that I want to grow you, that I want to teach you, that I want to show you more of what I desire you to be like. But the second I go to youth group and my small group leader starts telling me this and that, and I'm like, no, I don't need that. I'm me. You don't know me. I'm a do me. Friends, we've got an identity issue like we've never faced in the history of human existence in this generation. Look at me, young people. Listen, I'm not cool anymore. Don't let the red shoes and the cargo pants change your mind. I'm not cool anymore. So when I'm speaking to young people, I'm gonna just tell you like I hear the Spirit of God telling me. We got an identity issue in this generation. Because y'all buying into the lies. Because the lies tell you, you can be anything you want to be. You can be anybody you want to be. This might be my last year speaking at Future Quest after these next few sentences. Listen, because the world's telling y'all, hey, you want to be a fire engine? You can be a fire engine. You want to be a big teddy bear? Go ahead, be a big teddy bear. It's all good. And because we don't have the right people around us encouraging us, compelling us, convicting us to really look inside and see the imago Dei that Jesus, that God the Father placed inside of us, we're spooning up this lie. Oh my word. I was in Denver the other day. Listen to me. I was in Denver yesterday. I kid you not, I was at this youth group. Just don't record this part. I was at this youth group, and this young man said to his youth pastor, notice I said this is a young man. He said to his youth pastor, he says, I don't identify. And I thought he was gonna say as a boy. I'm like, I get it. And you know, this is time. I thought he was gonna say, I don't identify as a boy. He says, no, I don't identify as Scott. My name is Troy. I'm not sitting down for dramatic effect. I'm just fat. I gotta sit down for a second. Your name is Troy. What'd your mama name you when you were born? Scott. You identify as Troy? My heart breaks for that young man. You know why? He's got an identity issue. And ready? The people he's with aren't telling him who he really is. Listen, some of y'all sitting in this space right now, you're struggling with your identity sexually. No one might know it. Might be something you journal, might be something you talk about. And this isn't just the girls. There's some of you dudes that are struggling with your identity sexually. You're watching pornography and you're not looking at the woman. Hey. Oh, listen, you don't want me to get real, I'll just go home. You don't want me to get real, I'll just go home. Look at me, I'm not telling you that there's something wrong with you. Look at me in the eyes, I want you to get this. John, please let me speak this evening. I'm not telling you that there's something wrong with you. What I'm telling you is, you've got an identity issue. And I believe the church has got to be the safest place for young people to come with their doubts, with their struggles, with their misunderstandings. But look at me, friends, because I am your friend, because I do care about where your soul ends up in eternity, I'm not going to tell you what feels good or comfortable to you. The power of with, of understanding the people that you're with, is people that even when things aren't going well, will tell you the truth. Will point you to truth, will help you understand who exactly you are. And that's why Jesus shows up for the disciples in this situation. Because he says, I've got to show you who you are. But I got to be able to answer this next question. What's worth the risk? What's worth the risk? Look what it says in verse 4 through 6. They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize it was Jesus. Remember his presence, but we don't see his presence. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net, everybody say this, on the right side. Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. When they did it, they were unable to haul in the net because of the large number of fish. Jesus is calling out for y'all. Jesus is calling out for Carl to say, would you try my way? Would you risk looking foolish? Would you risk looking like you don't have all the answers? Would you risk showing up? And throw your net on the right side. We've been trying to do it our way. I'm going to throw it into these video games. I'm going to throw it into these clubs. I'm going to throw it into these teams. I'm going to throw it into this self-image thing. And every time we try to throw it on the left side, the opposite side, we pull it in and it still doesn't fill us up. And Jesus came to see you today at Future Quest, and Jesus said, why don't you try my way? But to try Jesus' way today, we've got to be willing to risk what it would look like to our friends when we really start walking after Jesus. What did it look like to our parents when we really start chasing after Jesus? What did it look like to our teammates when we really start following Jesus? We've got to be able to say, I'm willing to risk all that for the sake of following the Savior of this world. Winston Churchill said this, I love this quote. He said, success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It is the courage to continue that counts. See, some of y'all don't want to try something. Some of y'all don't want to risk something because you are in the snowflake generation and you are afraid to fail because we as the adults in your life have told you you're never going to fail. Look me in the eye. You're going to fail. But your failure is not final. You're going to struggle, but your struggle is not your identity. Your struggle is not the nameplate that goes across your life forever. It's young men and young women just like you who have the courage, look at me in the eye, to continue, that are going to change this world for the sake of Christ Jesus. So what are you willing to risk? The last question to help you catch your breath is, what do you need to leave behind? Come on. What habit, what struggle, what addiction, what negative thoughts have you just bought into in the last 15 months, the last 15 years that you need to leave behind today? Look at what it says in verse 7. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, said to Peter, it's the Lord. Remember what I said to you earlier? That the power with the people around you? John is the one who says, look, Peter, it's the Lord. And as soon as Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him and jumped into the water. The other 9 dudes on the boat must have been like, what is inside upside his head? He wraps his garment around him because he's in his work clothes. And Peter jumps into the water because Peter's saying something. He's like, I'm leaving this life behind. All throughout the Gospels, we see times in Peter's life where Peter goes back to fishing. Peter goes back to doing the things the way he does. This is the last time we see Peter doing this vocationally. And Peter said, I'm going to leave that life behind. First, I told y'all are failures. Listen, what else I'm going to tell y'all? Be quitters. Be quitters. Bob Goff says this in his book, Love Does. We can't change much if we don't quit much. You can't change much if you don't quit much. Whatever it is that's holding you back, quit it. That vape pen you got in your pocket, that you got in your purse, throw it away. That account that's hidden on your phone, that's dragging you into sexually inappropriate things that leave you feeling worse at the end, throw them away. Look at me in the, I'm a dad girl. Look at me, ladies. That boy who's a problem for you, who's making you think you aren't who you are, who's ripping your beauty away from you, throw him away. Amen. Look at me in the eye, ladies. He is not worth it. He is a dum-dum. I will tell you what science tells you. This ain't Pastor Carl. This is science tell you. The male brain is not fully formed till it's 25, which means he is only half a human. Leave him behind. You know how I know I do a good job when I come speak to students? Is how many of y'all break up? That's when I know I'm doing a good job. Boys, look him in the eyes. Some of y'all about to have your hearts broken this afternoon, in the name of Jesus. Listen to me, guys. Quit keeping score. Who's got the biggest house? Who's got the most stuff? Quit believing you are who you used to be. If you said yes to Jesus last night, when I do an invitation tonight, you don't need to come back up. You ain't that person anymore. Jesus has washed you in his blood. You are a newfound creation. You aren't that failure. You aren't that disappointment. You aren't that brokenness. Quit believing you are who you used to be. Quit letting other people decide who you are. Stop letting Caitlyn Jenner and Kim Kardashian and Kanye West and the Migos, stop letting them decide who you are. Quit everything that's not helpful. Young men, look at me. I'm busting on the dudes today. Boys. Boys. I'm going to call y'all boys because y'all ain't men yet until you do this. Listen to me. Stop playing video games all day. Never sit on the front row. Don't sit on the front row tonight. Stop playing video games all day. You know why you can't develop into that young man that woman, that young woman wants to be with? Because you're just playing Fortnite all day. Listen. Scripture tells us that Jesus grew in stature with men. Jesus said that Jesus grew up. Look at me. I'm serious. You can't be a boy all your whole life. And hello. This was some of the adults in here. Hey. Adults, we got to stop doing childish things. The reason these kids ain't listening to us, the reason these kids ain't taking in the words that we're saying is because we're doing childish things. Myself included. I got to leave it behind. Jonathan Martin said this. I love this in his book. He says, when God, we think we wander into desolate places by accident, when God has actively conspired to get you there, to have you all to himself. Listen, we thought we wandered into these last 15 months by accident. That future quest got canceled last year, postponed last year by accident. Maybe God wanted us to get alone in our bedrooms, get alone in our houses, to get us all to himself. Ben, y'all come out. Listen, don't clap. Y'all don't even know what you're clapping about. Stop clapping. Listen. Who I'm with, what am I willing to risk, and what am I leaving behind? Jesus was sitting on the shore with a fire built, and he didn't preach another sermon. He fed the disciples. He didn't go off about what they should have done or what they could have done. He just wanted to get some time with them. If you're tired, out of breath, anxious, and you're looking for a miracle in your life, you're looking to throw your net on the right side and pull in the haul of your life. Look at me. In search of the miracle, don't miss the meal. In search of God rocking and changing your world this weekend. The feels that you get when you all crowd this stage. In search of that, don't miss that Jesus wants to be with you. That Jesus loves you, that Jesus cares for you, that Jesus has a new name written for you, that Jesus is saying, listen, get rid of the things that are not reminding you, not solidifying who you are. Jesus is saying, don't miss this moment.